final case for argument this morning is United States against Campbell. Mr. Hill.
Good morning. For the record, Stanley Hill on behalf of the defendant appellant, George Campbell. Your Honor, we're asking that this court, Your Honors, we're asking that this court reverse the judgment of the district court because the evidence was insufficient to find that George Campbell ever possessed either actually or constructively the cocaine for which he was convicted of having possessed with intent to deliver. In order to have possession, you've got to have not only the power, but you've got to have the intention to possess the controlled substance. The record is clear, viewing the evidence in the light most favorable to the government, that when Montenegro brought this cocaine to Campbell's residence, Campbell was aware that the police were surveilling the area. And it is logical to conclude that based on that record, that he had absolutely no intention to take control over that cocaine.
Is it your argument that Campbell's intent changed before Montenegro ever delivered the drugs to his apartment?
I'm saying that you've got to have the intent and the power to control in order to have constructive possession.
Well, see, is there any evidence of him saying or doing anything to suggest that he didn't want Montenegro to leave the cocaine at his apartment?
If we characterize constructive possession as being both power and intent to exercise dominion and control, there's no evidence in the record that he had the intent to exercise that control when he may have had the power to exercise it.
But why wouldn't the evidence that the drugs were in his apartment sufficient, especially if you couple that with the calls leading up to the delivery?
If the drugs are in his apartment and he does not desire to take control over those drugs, he has no intention of you can't you lose the constructive possession.
It's not a question of constructive possession. It's actual possession. I don't understand how this intent to get rid of something can prevent you from having actual possession of something. Suppose there were a state law that says anyone who possesses drugs must dispose of them in such a way that they can't come into anyone else's hands. Do you think your client would be free of prosecution under that law on the ground that precisely because he intended to dispose of them, he never had possession of them, and therefore he could dispose of them any way he wanted?
I think that the facts of this case are distinguishable from that.
I didn't ask about the facts of this case. I asked about my hypothetical.
He could be prosecuted under that factual situation.
So if that's possession, why isn't this possession?
Judge, you've indicated that actual possession he had. The record shows that he never had actual possession. The drugs were brought and placed on a table or in a couch. According to Montenegro, he never even knew what he concedes that the defendant never took possession of the cocaine.
Did he present evidence at trial of anyone else with control over or access to his apartment?
There was no evidence of that, Your Honor, and I might indicate that the government makes reference to Makedo and Garrett, and they say that, you know, if the cocaine is found in the defendant's residence or in a location where the defendant has control, you can impute that he had possession. This cocaine was not found in his apartment. This case is distinguishable from Makedo and Garrett. In those cases, cocaine was found at a location where the defendant had control. This cocaine was not found, or the cocaine that Montenegro claims he brought to the apartment, no cocaine was found in that apartment. With respect to the cocaine that was found behind the dumpster, there was no evidence that that is the cocaine that Montenegro brought to the apartment. No one ever identified. Montenegro could have been asked, or someone might have been allowed to testify that they observed someone place that cocaine behind the dumpster. No one testified to that. Montenegro could have been asked, is this the cocaine that you brought to the apartment?
But what I'm trying to muddle through is that the cocaine was admittedly in his apartment from the time Montenegro delivers it until sometime the next day. So surely a jury's entitled to infer that during that time period, Campbell had the power and the intention to exercise dominion and control over the cocaine.
Respectfully, Your Honor, there's no evidence that the cocaine was in the apartment for the 15 hours that the government claims. There was absolutely no evidence of that. The government in its brief says that the cocaine was in Campbell's apartment for at least 15 hours. There's no evidence of that. There's no evidence of when the cocaine that Montenegro claims he brought to the apartment left the apartment. No evidence at all.
I'm puzzled by the structure of your argument. It sounds like you should be making an argument that your client didn't intend to distribute the drugs. Right? The crime here is possession with intent to distribute, is it not?
Judge, we were limited by what was raised in the post-trial motions. There was a motion for a new trial, which was filed by his previous counsel. When I came into the case, I could not go beyond what had been raised and preserved in those post-trial motions. That was the problem.
What you're trying to do, effectively, is to shoehorn an argument of lack of intent to distribute back into an argument of no possession. But intent to distribute is not an element of possession.
Intent to distribute is not an element of possession. But you need possession in order to find him guilty of intent to distribute. You must have that possession. And without that possession, he can't be found. The evidence is insufficient to find him guilty of intent to distribute. There was no actual possession, none at all. If the cocaine had been found 15 hours later in the defendant's apartment, there's ample case law to suggest that you can impute control or possession of the cocaine because of his control of the apartment. Without that cocaine being in the apartment, this case is not like Makedo or Garrett, because in those cases the controlled substance was found.
How many hours was the cocaine in the apartment?
No evidence of that. No evidence. We would only speculate. And you really can't speculate because according to Montenegro, they left immediately. They went outside to look at this vehicle that they had suspicions regarding. There's no evidence that they returned to the apartment. There's no evidence of what happened to that cocaine. Now, to make the assumption that it remained in the apartment for 15 hours, there's no evidence of that in this record. Maybe the door was open. If we want to start speculating, maybe the door was open. Maybe the agent came in and grabbed the cocaine. His fingerprints were the only ones that were found on it and said he found it behind the dumpster because he didn't have a search warrant to go into the apartment. We can speculate, but I don't choose to speculate because the record doesn't show that. The fact of the matter is that there's no cocaine found in the apartment. If the cocaine had been found in the apartment, the government would have an argument to say that because it was his apartment, he exercised dominion and control. Without that, you can't. Without the actual possession, without the constructive possession, you can't find. He can't be found guilty of intent to deliver, because that possession is an element of both.
Is it also your argument that he never, ever intended to possess the cocaine, or is it just the cold feet argument?
Well, obviously, there was some agreement to get the cocaine in the defendant. But the law says that in order to have possession, you've got to have the intent and the power. When he may have intended to get the cocaine, he didn't have the power because it wasn't under his purview at that time. You've got to have both. It's in the conjunctive. At least that's what the case law suggests. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Hill. Ms. Morrissey.
May it please the Court. Again, my name is Megan Morrissey. I represent the plaintiff appellee of the United States in this matter. The government asked that this court affirm defendant George Campbell's convictions because the evidence at trial was entirely sufficient for a rational jury to find that the defendant ordered 1 kilogram of cocaine, directed that that cocaine be delivered to his home, received the cocaine, and maintained possession of that cocaine for at least 15 hours until he backed out of the deal.
What was the government's theory at trial as to how the cocaine got from Campbell's house to the dumpster?
Your Honor, there was no evidence presented at trial on that point.
So nothing?
That's correct, Judge. Although, Your Honor, I believe that the government's position was that the jury was entitled to infer that after the defendant in Montenegro exchanged a phone call in which the defendant indicated he was backing out of the deal by saying, no, 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 Montenegro responded, all right, I need to come and pick that up. Defendant responded back to Montenegro, okay, I'll call you in about a half hour. At no point did the defendant respond, pick up what? What are you talking about? I don't have anything. That would be evidence that he was not in possession of the cocaine.
Did the government have constant surveillance on Campbell's apartment after Montenegro delivered the cocaine?
There was no evidence to that point at trial, Judge.
If they knew from the tape calls that Montenegro was going to be picking the cocaine back up, why wasn't there any surveillance on his apartment during the period of time when the drugs were presumably put behind the dumpster?
Again, Your Honor, that's not a question that I can answer because that's certainly a question for the investigating agents. But, again, I think that after the conversation between Montenegro in which they agreed that the cocaine needed to be retrieved from the defendant, several hours later that cocaine was in fact found behind a dumpster right outside the defendant's apartment in a direct line of sight from the defendant's apartment. And the jury was entirely, it was entirely reasonable for the jury to infer that that cocaine had come out of defendant's apartment and that that cocaine was supposed to be picked up by Montenegro.
Is there any evidence in the record that Campbell ever returned to his apartment after Montenegro left the cocaine but before it was recovered in the alley?
There was no evidence to that point either, Your Honor. Again, Judge, with respect to the defendant's possession of cocaine at his apartment, the record indicates that on July 7th and July 8th, there were a number of coded conversations between defendant and Montenegro in which Montenegro ordered 1 kilogram of cocaine and directed Montenegro to deliver it to his residence. Shortly thereafter, Montenegro, the cocaine supplier, did in fact show up at the defendant's residence pursuant to the defendant's instructions. And the testimony at trial was that the defendant and Montenegro then became distracted by the somewhat suspicious car in the parking lot and that the two men left the residence. There was no testimony whatsoever that the defendant told Montenegro to take the cocaine with him, that he said anything, gave him any instructions about what to do with that cocaine. The only testimony was by Montenegro, who said that the cocaine remained behind in that apartment. And again, throughout the evening of July 8th and July 9th, again, there were several recorded conversations between Montenegro and defendant in which Montenegro was calling to inquire about the deal. What do you think? I just need a simple yes or no. What is the story? And again, at no point during those conversations did the defendant reply, what are you talking about? Yes or no as to what? There was no evidence that would indicate that that cocaine had gone anywhere other than the place it was left, the defendant's residence. So again, based on all of those considerations, the only rational conclusion that the jury, the only reasonable conclusion that the jury could have made is that the defendant directed the delivery of the cocaine to his home. He knew that cocaine was in his residence. He later decided to back out of the deal, at which point he made arrangements for the cocaine to be returned to his supplier. And unless there are any questions, the government rests on its brief and asks that this court affirm the defendant's convictions.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Hill?
I really wanted to say that it was my understanding that surveillance was constantly conducted on that location. Contrary to what counsel indicated, I believe the record would show that they continued surveilling that particular area for the 8th as well as the 9th. And there was no testimony to show that the defendant went back into the apartment or that Montenegro went back into the apartment and removed the cocaine. I think there was constant surveillance at that location, nor was there any evidence regarding how the agent knew to go behind the dumpster and get this cocaine. That didn't come out. Your Honors, I'm asking you to reverse this because the evidence was insufficient. They may have been able to prove had there been more evidence, but there was no evidence, and based upon that, it should be reversed. I thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And, Mr. Hill, we thank you for your willingness to accept the appointment and the assistance you've been both to your client and the court.
Thank you.
The case is taken under advisement, and the court will be in recess until tomorrow.